Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
It's gone 7:48 Central African time, and that time of the morning, where we join our very own Councillor Ahmed Parak, who's been back for some time now, and people are just clamoring, Ahmed this and Ahmed that, and Ahmed is handling the issue as he always does. Ahmed Parak, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and alan and salam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Shafad, we have got nice, beautiful, fine rain from last night. Alhamdulillah, Shafad, we are blessed that we got a little bit of rain. So, alhamdulillah, this is, you know, the hukmat of Allah, that Allah knows when to give wind, rain, sunshine, and when to give the extreme summer, 40 degrees as well.
Now, you're right. It can roast you, it can cool you, it can do everything. But be close to him and he'll be right. You'll get the right treatment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's talk about kafan dafan. Now, what's the latest on that front, Ahmed Parak?
Alhamdulillah, we have been, January been quiet. There's only all the natural causes what we're getting. But alhamdulillah, after my trip from the UK, I spoke to the Justice Department, Department of Health. We are at a very advanced stage in terms of what we want to be doing to bring the X-ray machines where we'll be able to avoid doing post-mortem, inshallah. So we are at an advanced stage, and I think we will be the first in South Africa to introduce it here, because a precedent is already set in the UK, where our Muslim Brothers Day in the UK took the government to court, and they have won the case in the Crown Court, the highest court in the UK. They have won that case. So we're going to use that precedent here. We have given them everything. So the chances are like 99.99%. Inshallah, by June, we will have our first model of the machine. And then there is, at the moment, we're doing a test in one of the labs in the country. You know, all the hospitals, they've got their own X-ray machines and all that. We are having a look at it. We're going to do a test case in one of these hospitals, what machines they got and what we can pick up, what we're missing out. Then when we go to Switzerland, we will bring exactly what we want, and we will be the first in the country, and KZN will be the first in the country to introduce a machine like that. Then we're going to roll it out to Gauteng and Cape Town. These are the three major centers we will be running it. The way we're going to put the whole program and put the infrastructure together is, we will eventually, what will happen, we will have our own premises. The Justice Department will only supply us with the pathologist, and we will then pick up the body from the mortuary only. Not from the hospital, not from the scene of the crime, nowhere else, only from the mortuary, where, because all the paperwork has to be done. We will pick up from there, mortuary, and bring it to our center, where the pathologist will be there. There will be four machines, because there's four: Stanger, Phoenix, Pinetown, and Pakrani. Those are the ones that you will be doing the first post-mortem for them. So we'll expedite it and give them the post-mortem quicker. And within 7 days, you will get your post-mortem report with the DNA and everything else. So, you know, we bring it such a way that there will not going to be, the court cases will be expedited, because at the moment, you're waiting in the region of about 13, 14 months in some cases, because you're waiting from Pretoria to give the DNA and the test of the blood and everything. Yeah, we will have Yale Street Mortuary. They have already set up the lab for the blood. So we are putting everything together. The puzzle now, we can say, alhamdulillah, we're putting the puzzle together, and inshallah, we will be able to roll it out, inshallah, sometime in June, between June and July, inshallah, with the help of Allah, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This man is amazing, Bru Shafa. I want to know from Ahmed Parak, how many forensic experts do we have as Muslims? A very good question from Ibrahim, Ahmed.
I was fortunate enough about, what, 3 years ago, the forensic chief of KZN, he asked me, Ahmed, do you know any doctors who will be able to come into our forensic system. And when we talk to our, you know, I spoke to the people, the doctors at IMA, you know, the Islamic Medical Association. When it comes to forensic and all, opening and closing or doing post-mortem and all, they're very reluctant. But then we had a case where Ibrahim Khan, Dr. Ibrahim Khan, his daughter was in Newcastle. And she was married and she wanted to come away to Durban. The only place we could find, there were no hospital because all the hospitals are full. There's enough doctors or whatever it is. They won't give because, you know, in terms of our color and all, they give, you know, how many, you know, your ratio is like 10. From the 10, you have to have 7 blacks, 1 Indian, 1 colored, 1 white and all that. You know, that's the ratio they normally work with. So there was no room for her to come down. So I spoke to Dr. Khan and I had an interview with Dr. Khan, Zainab. I said, you know what, there's an opportunity here. There is no Muslim pathologist in KZN, in Durban at the moment, because Dr. Ali was here. He's the chief in Cape Town now. There's none of them here. And then we got Dr. Khan in Port Chepstow. So there is no Muslim. Are you interested? If you're interested, there's a contact detail. Speak to the head of pathology. He will do your transfer and you'll write up to the Department of Health and you'll be able to come with. Within a week, she was here, Shafat, and today she's a pathologist at the Pinetown Mortuary, Shafat.
Yeah, Mother, and you know, you're the man that gets things going. And also, you know, when we look at, there is a shortage of doctors in hospitals. That's what they say. But then you see there's thousands of doctors in this country cannot get jobs. They're going overseas. Talk to me about that scenario, Ahmed.
Shafat, there is so much of local doctors cannot get room or space in our public hospitals. The reason is this government, because of the Cuba issue they had with South Africa, the treaty they had, they brought all these Cuban doctors and they filled their posts. And all our doctors are coming from University of Wits, KZN, Nelson Mandela University, coming from our good universities. And you know something, Shavan, and the listeners must note this. We in South Africa produce the best doctors in the world. That's how you'll find in the world all the top scientists and all are South African, although they're living overseas, but the top scientists and all are from South Africa. So we have the doctors. In fact, there's so much of shortage of doctors in the hospital, yet they haven't got space to put them. The only reason they can't go into hospital because the government, the Department of Health, cannot employ them because they don't have the money.
They don't have the money. That's quite funny. Looking at a message from Babu. Babu says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Tarak, you rock, and Allah bless you. And also bless Shafat Ahmed Khan, Marcus Sahaba Radio, for bringing this plot every week. I want to know from you, how is load shedding affecting the mortuaries? And what happens if the bodies start decomposing? Do they cover up? What a powerful question, Ahmed.
Shafat, we at the moment, we have a huge dilemma with this load sharing issue. Now, the thing is this, now our cutoff time, it starts at 7 in the morning and the cutoff time is 6. So in other words, any body, a Muslim body, in terms of our standing rules from the apartheid government and previously, if you get a body any time in that, but you have to bring it like 4 o'clock to get your body at 6 o'clock. It takes at least 2 hours to do a post-mortem. Now, when you get a body is in before 4, and the pathologist is a Muslim body, the pathologist wants to do the post-mortem, and the load shedding is 4 to 6, you'll have to wait till next day now. This is how it affects that. That's one. Secondly, there's bodies in the fridges. Now, you know, non-Muslim, they don't do it like how we do our funeral same day. They don't do it. They keep it for a week or maybe 10 days, 12 days, some of them. They got special days like Saturday they bury on a midweek, Wednesday and a Sunday. So those bodies stay in a cold room. Now in a cold room, so we're having this thing, it will have a decomposition effect, but because of the temperature we normally use in the morgue. So within that time, the body will come, it will start oozing substance and everything. And then what happens then when the lights come on, it goes back to normal again. That's the only thing they can do. There's nothing else they can do, Shaman. There's no generators, there's no nothing. It comes to a standstill. That's it.
Yeah, very, graphic indeed there. We have about a minute and a half to go before the news. But another question coming here says, Ahmed Parak, Allah give you the strength to carry on for another 30 to 40 years. Even if you live over 100, we need you, man. We don't have another Ahmed. Ahmed, people, they're already grabbing on you. They're praying that you'll be over 100. How you react to that, Ahmed?
Allah must give me health, wealth, and strength to do the work.
Yeah, absolutely. You're getting messages not only locally, but people from overseas are sending you messages all the time. And alhamdulillah, you're current. And the most important thing, Ahmed, is you're giving feedback. I wonder how many politicians do that. They give back feedbacks and many other things that we have to do. Because once you're given the amana of being in a public space, remember, you don't belong to yourself after that. You belong to the public. And you have to give the answer like how Ahmed does. And Ahmed knows he's a selfless. And everyone, I think the whole community, they rally around Ahmed and say, they call him Paruk. And, we call him Parak. And there's many names. But the indigenous people, the whites, the colors, and the Indians, they all love Ahmed Parak. And he's been a people-friendly man.
I've just inherited another name. First my football name was Mandro Parak, then they became Councillor Parak, then now I inherited another name. It's General. They call me General Parak because they say I get things done, Shofar. Alhamdulillah, with your people as
well. Well done, General. General, Uwais Mijaki is on the news desk, ready to fire. So let's go to the news.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio.
صومالي وأفتخر وحنيني سيستمر وبلادي ستزدهر صومالي وأفتخر وحنيني سيستمر وبلادي ستزدهر صومالي وأفتخر
أهلا وسهلا مرحبا
مركز صحابة أونلاين راديو Empowering the Ummah
Welcome Ya Mustafa Welcome
Consciously Connected is the program, and it is the segment, a straight talk with Ahmed Parak. Ahmed, listening to the news, what caught your ears?
Shafat, first and foremost is the gun log, where they're making it easier for the people of Israel to carry guns. And this is another way ploys to kill the poor Palestinian in the state of Israel. So, that's another one that is the prime minister, that prime minister who we got again, what you can call him, he's a butcher. So now they have opened it. And, with the protest, over 100,000 people that protested. And I think that is going to be a good sign to get him out of there for once and for all. Every time he goes and he still gets back into government. Because the people of Israel, they need a president like that, because, he's the only one who will be able to do what to kill people. That's why they're keeping him there. The second one is the SAPS. A Scorpion unit, they want to dismantle it. Now, that is another issue that we face in government as well. That Scorpion was the elite unit that was put to fight all the crimes all over the country. And they had selected officers to do the work. And now, all right, they may be a little bit gun hungry there, but if a guy opens fire to you, they don't play. That's an elite unit. Now they went and closed that unit down. That is another major blow to the country. And then in India, the BBC documentary, they want to ban that because, you know what, Modi want to be exposed in it. So that's the reason they're going and doing that. Then you're getting the, lastly, is the Ackerman, you know, is doing the child trafficking. And, you know, it's not, you know, in fact, it's happening in our doorstep with this child trafficking at the moment. In fact, in the last 2 weeks, I had about 2-3 calls regarding child trafficking at the moment.
Yeah, sad indeed, Ahmed. And already there's a question on the screen, and this is from, let's see who's that from. Okay, Farid. Farid says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. I want to know from you, there's a big embracement and a big hue and a cry for bravo, bravo amongst the people of the Ummah. But talking about Trapello, Ahmed is also a Molana as a mayor of Johannesburg. But my view is that he is a puppet on the string for the ANC and the EFF. Our people should think more deeply. How do you respond to that, Ahmed?
Shabana was just coming to that. Trapello is put there, you know, just to save the skin of the ANC government. The reason is ANC have now went into bed with EFF. They cannot get anywhere because what is happening, the EFF is the kingmaker at the moment in most of the municipality and everything else at the moment. So they are, even here in our Durban municipality, they got 24 seats, but they are the kingmakers. And then what happened is, they got, ANC got 93 seats in Durban, and they got 24 seats. Even if we take all our independents as well as all the sellout, the independent sellout to our community, who get paid by the ANC to stay away from meetings and all that. And in fact, recently I'm going on radio here, Shafaz, and I'm telling you nothing but the truth. I was offered a huge sum of money to stay away from these two meetings, which one took place on the 26th, and stay away from the meeting on the 31st of January, the full council meeting, to stay away because we have moved, we want the mayor of Kaunda to be replaced and the speaker to be replaced, and the seat for the deputy mayor, we want it to go to the IFP. That's the reason. Now, they couldn't get consensus with EFF. It cost the city $650,000 to host that meeting at ICC on Tuesday. Nothing happened. And now on Thursday, it's to be seen. And in December, they decorated ICC because it was a year as, like they call it, council meeting with a party or whatever you can call it that, like crackers on the table, you name it that. 10 star course meal for us prepared and everything. Shafat, it cost 1.2 million. No meeting took place. This is how our city is, the ratepayers are paying. In the last, from December meeting and January, we lost 2 million rand where we could have been doing something to fix this city up, but we're throwing away good money, Shafat.
Sad indeed, and as you say, good money is being thrown away, and you know, deliberately, you know, the council meeting over and over. As you say, the ANC and the EFF, they got a bigger agenda. So the next election, perhaps you know, the ANC, I don't know, the RET group, they're going to form another group, and you know, this will definitely weaken the ANC. But will it strengthen the EFF? Because it seems as if you know, the Populist Party still hosts, you know, holding sway in all the or most of the municipalities. What's going to happen, Ahmed, if EFF and the ANC amalgamate for the next election? What's going to happen? Tell us.
Shafat, what if the EFF only got the support from the universities and all that? Nowhere else. They cannot get support from anybody else in any one of the areas, rural areas, or any one of the areas. They won't get no support. That is the reason. Now, you must understand, and the viewers must understand one thing. Malema comes from where the Youth League of the ANC. When he had a problem, he went and formed his own party. And to be honest, we all know that. He's still Who's funding EFF? He's been funded by the ANC. So he's in bed with the ANC, but he makes a big noise. The only good thing he does is he makes big noise and he keeps them at abeyance and all that. But in the end, he gets into bed with them. And this is what is happening at the moment.
Absolutely, and this is all, confusing people more and more. And it seems as if, the whole country has been compromised, looting, stealing. Those issues are not even addressed. The issues of service delivery is forgotten. Load shedding goes in the back burners when it comes to, the politicking and with the politicians making deals and so forth. But let's address this issue here, Ahmed. When you are voted, if Ahmed is voted as a candidate, his party has been chosen. People are like the manifesto, and they are choosing you because you're going to give a certain a value to your voter. But what's happening here? Parties are voted according to their manifesto, but suddenly the manifesto is thrown out of the window, and these parties are amalgamating with other parties. In other words, they have betrayed their voters. How do you react to that?
100% what you're saying is, Shafat, our people actually go and sell us. Now, how ANC normally gets the votes is, they'll give them hampers, they'll steal money from the government, and they will give them hampers and they'll get the votes. And secondly, we need to keep ANC below the 50% mark. Even if they bring in like the EFF, which is going, they're going to lose a lot of votes, and they're not going to get what they have been receiving in the last national government election. So, there's a big role play. There's a big vacuum in the political field at the moment. DA, is neither here or there. ANC, you cannot trust him. Manema, he's a radical. They tell him straight, he's a radical. The only party that is people now, people want to vote for a party who is straight, who is upright, who can deliver to the people. And that is only, I'm saying, not because I'm a member of Action SA and I'm in the executive of the Action SA. Action SA is the only alternate party that the people can vote. And you'll see how we have come in government within a short period of time. Within 2 months, when we were not supposed to contest the 6 municipality, and we contested the 6 municipality, and we got over 120 seats. So that is a thing that, we came from outside, that we stunned ANC and everybody else. When we came there, Herman Mashaba came, because he's an upright man. He saw the dirt when he was the mayor. He brought them to book, and then he sees that these guys are not interested. He said, he's not going to dirty his hands. And he took the decision that he's going to form his own party. And today, where we are. And the support we got, Shafat, it's unbelievable. And it's growing by the day. Because we got the right people. We're not a sellout. We will do what is right. And we are the only one going to court all the time. And we got 3 major applications sitting in court at the moment. And we want to bring them down. But the good news for the viewers, and if some of them are sleeping, and if they haven't picked up this information, what we're giving this morning, Shafat, they're going to lose the funding that is going to which they paid, and they won't be able to get it back because they are sleeping this morning. Today is a meeting in the Civic Center in Westville. Musgrave Ratepayers and the Westville Ratepayers Association got together. We found a loophole in the system that took place from 2005 to 2009, where every time when you want to rate goes up, it has to be propagated in parliament as well as the city. And from 2005 to 2009, it was not propagated. So therefore, we have got today. There's 2 top legal eagles flew up this morning at towards 7 o'clock flight. Our guys are already gone to the airport to bring them down. There's a meeting at 2 o'clock at the Civic Center. I promise you, Shafat, we are going to get in the region of anything over 10 billion that who all our ratepayers have paid. We're going to get the refund for them. And we are going all out because these legal eagles we got, I read through the papers. When it comes to that Shafat, alhamdulillah, Allah bless me. I read through all the papers, all the court proceedings, everything, and the precedents and everything. We have got a solid case. We are going full out. It'll take in the region of about 18 months, but I'm 100% sure. I can put my head on a guillotine. We will win this case, and the city will have to pay back from 2005 to 2009, Shafat.
Hey, I can see people jumping on their feet and saying, Ahmed, Farak, Alhamdulillah. And some even saying, wah, wah, wah. Well done there, Ahmed. And also looking at a message from Farad. He says, Ahmed, you are a top guy. And bless you, Blue Chef, for bringing this top guy on. I want to know from Ahmed Farak, where is the ANC getting the money from to pay the councillors that are rogue units? Where do they get it? Is it Cyril Ramaphosa's Pala Pala's mattress money? How do you respond to Farhad, Ahmed?
Shafat, Farhad, we get an allocation from national government, 55 billion per annum to run our city. And whatever rate and whatever we collect for in utility, that it is part of the, also part of the funding that we get for the city to run the city. Now, what happens here, so the councillors get paid from that funds there. We, at the moment, we are under international, Farad, we are under international sakrat at the moment. From the 55 billion, we only got funds to last us for the next 90 days. And after that, I don't know what's going to happen because people are not paying the rates, people are not paying the electricity, people are not paying the water account because there's no water. They're saying, why should we pay for electricity when there's no electricity you're giving us? So rates, they don't want to pay. They said, what are you doing? You're not fixing our potholes. Our sewer is not working. This is not working. But you cannot hold that. That's the reason what the city and the government did. They took all your three rates, water and light. They put it into one bill. Now, a lot of people previously used to get single accounts, one for rates, one for your light, and one for your water. They used to pay the water and light. They used to wait for the rate. You know, they paid tickets and all that. But now, if you haven't, you paid your water and light, you're up to date, but you haven't paid your rate, they come and cut you off.
Yeah, they do that. And Ahmed, looking at this question, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Councillor Farak and Brother Shafat. I want to address the issue of raw sewage, filthy with flies and stench and honk right in our residential streets. Unheard of in civilized society, it's increasing a rat problem. Worst part is municipalities are not attending to this disgusting problem. I want to know from Councillor Farak, why suddenly we have a sewage leak in residential areas? Why are municipalities refusing to fix it up? What will be done about it? What action? Jazakallah for reply. Action voters. We love Ahmed. Ahmed, your response?
Firstly, I want to know where that brother is from. Tell him not to forget on the 27th of February at the High Court in Durban in Swamsey Road, he must join us. Because we are the only party that brought, at Shinese, brought a application forcing the municipality for the raw sewage going into our rivers and into our sea, as well as the non-maintenance of all our manholes, and all that is not being done. We are the only party, number one. Number two is, previously, Shafat, you know, when the municipality was running, the white municipality, it was, you know, you had borough of Spingo, you had borough of Ilovo, all you had different boroughs, and they used to come and they open your manholes and they used to clean that manhole and they used to put a bucket with a rope and one of the guys go down and he takes out all the sand and the muck where it is, we're going to block it, and he will pull the sand and everything out because sand gets into it with the dust and everything. But today, if you see, none of the manholes are being serviced. That's number one. Number two, Allah forbid, and if you got another flood like what we had in April last year, all the manhole in the city will you wanna find, you will not be able to come out from your home and take out even your car, because every road will only have raw sewage, because all it will bubble up and it will come out onto the road. I'll give you one scenario. On the 23rd of December, before I went on my holiday, here in Musgrave, the Muslim phoned me and told me, hey, General, you better come here, we got a major problem. So I go to the masjid and he says, come, let's go to the basement where we park about 160 or 150 cars. Shafat, you won't believe it, from the road, because our basement starts from the road and that's where our car park is downstairs. It was pushing the raw sewage through the sand into our car park. And when I went there, Shafat, you just want like bringing up, that's how bad it is. I phoned the municipality, I phoned the manager. Eventually, I managed to get three trucks. They came through. I worked till 11 o'clock at night. We opened 140 manholes, Shafat. If the only thing, my mistake was I didn't take a photo of it. Every single one is to the brim. Now, I'm saying to myself, if a flood comes and we have a problem like what we had on the 12th of April, our city is going to be finished. It's going to be only raw sewage, and you're not going to even go to work. You can't even put your foot out on the road. That's how bad it is at the moment. So what I'm saying, in short, on the 27th of February, it's around the corner now, 27th, we got a high court application. I think it might get postponed. And we brought a major application to bring the council to his knees, and they must fix this issue about the Rosu.
Okay, this message here says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. You are absolutely, mashallah, lovely information coming through. I want to know from you, is it true that half the political parties in this country have foreigners as their members, and that each one is compromised? How true is that, Ahmed?
Shafat, if you got a South African, you come, foreign national comes here. He comes to our country and he applied, he's got a work permit or he's got a residence permit, he's got an ID, he's allowed to vote in the country. And if you take our this country here, 20 million is only foreign nationals we got at the moment. That is an updated figure I'm giving you, 20 million. And from that 20 million, if you take Shafat, is you can say 50% they're not even documented in the country. Now, they have opened the floodgate for all these people to come here for greener pastures. We accept that, because in apartheid days, they assisted this government. That's why they opened the gate. But there's no law and order in terms of immigration like how you have go to any other country. If you go to Dubai, only 15% is the locals and 85% is foreign national. But every foreign national is there, is properly documented, and you can't move. And if his visa has expired and if he hasn't renewed his visa, there's fine for it, or they deport you. Finish. That's it. That's the law there. And this is what, even in the UK, America, anywhere you go, this is how the system works. Even now, you know, all when you got all this war-stricken area, they went to the Europe, in some of the European countries, and you went to France, you went to Italy, wherever. They took them on, but they made sure they are properly documented, photographs were taken, fingerprints were taken, all that, because if there's a problem, they know who to catch. Yeah, you can come here, kill somebody, kill Shafat Ahmed Khan, and go way back to your country, nobody will know. That document will stay there to the investigating officer for another 10 years too, he won't find you.
Yeah, Ahmed, one more question. Farooq Sakot, hey, he also does a coffee express with me. He says, kindly ask Brother Ahmed, what is the standpoint of Herman Mashaba on the Palestinian issue? Ahmed?
Shafat, we believe and we always maintained that when the government of South Africa, whatever he, we will stand with the South African government on the standpoint of the Palestinian issue, and we have always maintained it. But the thing is this, South African government, the foreign affairs, we for the last 10 years, we're telling them, ban all Israeli goods and everything. They're doing nothing about it, Shafa.
Well, that's the standpoint. You heard it, Farooq. Yeah, Ahmed told you. Ahmed, absolutely great, 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 great morning with you. And I don't want to talk about all that other messages you sent over. Thousands and thousands of messages that come to you around the world. How do you get the time to read all that, Ahmed?
Shafa, alhamdulillah. You know, one thing I'm blessed with, and then everybody says, they always ask me, how do you get the right people to work for you, to be around you and all that? So, you know, I'm blessed when I get somebody, I train them well, and all my messages, emails, and everything comes. They scrutinize it. I've got Rocky Naidu one side, then I've got my my personal PA. She goes through it. She wherever has to be responded, we respond to it immediately. And inshallah, after the 15th of February, my offices is going to be near the masjid in Musgrave. I've taken a flat where we're just renovating at the moment to get my offices done properly. The council will pay for that offices because I'm an employee of the council. And then what we are going to do, we will be the first party in the city to have a call center. Like when you phone, you got an electrical problem, sewer problem, your street lights are not working, you log it and you also log it with us. We will follow it up, and every day we will send you a message where we are, what we did, who we spoke to, and where we are. We will give you an update. That's what people want to know. They're frustrated with the system of this government. They know that nothing is happening. So they want answers only. They're only interested. Give us the service delivery. That's all people want. They're tired of everything else. They don't want nonsense you telling them today, tomorrow, it's coming, the truck is there. All that, we don't want. You either getting it done or you're not going to get it done. And now I have put in a system where I deal with all the managers and the TCMs at all the nine systems where they look after our electricity, water, power, all that. So I deal direct with them. Now, if they don't give me answers, then it's my duty. I go straight to the city manager and the mayor. He must answer. And if he don't answer, then we expose him. That's what I'm going to do, Shafa.
Well, Ahmed, walking the talk, and alhamdulillah, great on straight talk. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.